Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Midwest Meltdown. It's your boy, Zach.
It's Josh. Today's episode is brought to you by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast. Hell, if you guys don't know by now that Podgo is amazing, I guess we're just going to tell you one more time. But they provide podcasters with a flat rate for ad space, so you always know how much you get when you get an ad from Podgo. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected to advertisers that fit your audience. And if you do, don't forget to tell them that the Meltdown sent you. So go to podgo.co at podgo.co. Staple as always, Podgo on the Midwest Meltdown.
I also want to throw in there, this episode is also brought to you by Tums. If you're having some pod gas, Tums is the way to go.
What?
Right, Josh? You said pod gas, but then you corrected yourself to podcast. Play the tape back. Play it back in the booth. Everybody heard it.
I did not say podcast.
You stumbled. I did not say it. Yeah, you did. We all heard it. Everybody's going to hear it. And don't you dare fucking edit it out.
Well, I guess that's up to me for you to find out.
Yeah, great. This whole segment will be me saying it. And it's just going to go. It's going to be so funny how you're like, this episode is brought to you by blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah. Podcast. Like, it's going to be like a weird blip. And I'm going to be like, you son of a bitch.
And you're going to look like a crazy person.
I know. All right. I have a story to tell you that I was talking about. I was going to tell you before the episode, but I'm like, again, we can't tell each other shit anymore because we won't have stuff to talk about on this show.
Okay.
So there's a show that Teague's been watching, basically where a film crew is following and like interviewing people who are on the spectrum with autism and basically helping them like find love. So there's like love coaches who are helping people with this type of disability, obviously, try to find love. So they try to find people who are both... like
what's the show called?
Oh, shit. To be honest, I don't know. It's on Netflix. I know that.
All right.
It's based in the UK and Australia. And I'm pretty sure you can narrow it down.
Okay, you figure it out. Or you keep talking and I'll figure it out.
Okay. So, well, I need you to pay attention because it's a funny story.
No, I can do that.
So... The couple goes out to a restaurant to start eating, and they're sitting there, they're talking, just kind of like getting to know each other and stuff. And love on the spectrum. And as they're sitting down talking and stuff, the guy's like, oh, you know, like, what do you like to do and stuff? And the girl goes, oh, I like to play video games. And he's like, oh, that's so cool. Like, I play video games too. Like, what kind of games do you like to play? And she goes, well, I'm a really big fan of Skyrim. And he goes, oh, really? And mid dinner, dude turns to his left, spots a piano in the restaurant, and starts busting out some fucking Skyrim theme to her.
Ultimate flex. And then he whipped out his big hog.
Like, in the funniest part, though, is as I'm listening to it, what he does is he picks, like, you can hear some elements of the theme, but then, like, because later I was like, there's other parts of it where I was like, I don't think that's part of the song. And then he just goes, yeah, that was Skyrim with a little bit of my own improvisation. And I was like, ah, there it is. Because I was like, it sounds right. But then there are parts that didn't sound right. But I'm like, what a boss ass move.
Seriously, that's a fucking flex right there.
Seriously, like mid dinner, just like, oh, you like Skyrim? Knuckle crack. Ding, like just starts going ham. And I was like, you've got to be shitting me. Like the balls you have to have. And again, mid, like full restaurant. Like the balls. Sure. I was like, well done, dude. Like seriously, super big flex move. Honestly, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I figured, cool. You know, you being a fan of Skyrim, figured you might appreciate a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you look at that?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay. No, it's cool.
God. It's all cool. Right. It was cool. It was really cool. And like the show itself is actually really funny and stuff. Like I said, Teague's been really into it and stuff. And it's actually like really entertaining. If you guys want to check it out, what was it called again, Josh? On the Spectrum? Love on the Spectrum. Love on the Spectrum. There it is. Also, continuing on here, I messaged you and I told you to kind of keep in mind what game you're going to play next. Because I want this to be out there, dude. I have so many games in my head that I want to talk about on this freaking show, but I can't because I'm
waiting. Give a hard life
because I'm waiting on you. Yeah, I do. I want to talk about these things on our video game podcast, and I can't. Because you're too busy playing Super 8 Ball or whatever the fuck you're playing now.
That's a good game. Maybe you should play that.
Is that really actually the name of the game? I totally guessed.
It's like, I don't know, Pool Ball or something? I don't fucking know.
You don't even know. It's Soul Miner. You don't even know.
Bitch, you couldn't even remember the name of the show you were watching. And then I told you, and then you didn't remember.
I wasn't watching it. I came in. T wanted to show me a clip.
You weren't watching it. We're at 5 minutes and 30 seconds. And after, what, 1 minute when the ad read was done, you were talking about that show. And you're about to tell me that you weren't watching the show.
I
just told a 4-minute story about the show.
I watched the clip that Teague, you made it seem like, though, that since I didn't know the title, it was dumb because I'm, like, actively watching it. I also commented on the fact
that I told you the name of the title, and then 2 minutes later, you had already forgotten the name of the title.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's given at this point.
No, it's not.
It is, though. That's the thing.
Nor should it be.
Everybody knows that. Everybody does.
That your brain doesn't work?
Yes! Wait, what? I'm too stupid to make up my own mind.
Classic Peter Griffin.
Classic Peter Griffin. Now you got that song stuck in my head. Played it right before this freaking episode started. I knew it was going to happen.
Well, okay, what question do you want to know the answer to?
When you get your fucking PS5.
Okay.
What game are you going to play that we can both talk about collectively on this show? Like a story-driven game.
See, okay. You sent me this message today, and you're like, but not what the actual answer is.
No. Because I have not played...
Because I'm going to finish playing Tony Hawk.
Great, that's fine. At a certain point, though, it's like it's Tony Hawk. Like you do some tricks, you do this, you do that. There's no like story driven component to it that we can actually go into great depth and detail about. Like
guy who still plays Rocket League and Warzone all the time.
Not all the time. I am tackling a lot, dude. Look at my freaking thing on PlayStation. Look at the games I've been tackling.
Oh, let me just fire up my PlayStation 4 and take a look at it. You dumb fuck,
loser. No, you can look at your app.
If you are about to suggest that I open a web browser just to look at what you're doing on video games...
You're telling me you can't open a PlayStation app?
I can do a lot of things. I just will not do them.
I figured.
Like, stalk your fucking activity.
Oh, I do. I stalk yours all the time. That's why I know what kind of fucking weird-ass games you're playing. Dude, don't give me that shit, okay? I fucking caught you playing Mr. Masagi, okay? Just fucking own up to it.
If you would have asked, I would have said yes.
Yeah, okay.
I wanted the trophies.
I know you did. I know that. I know that's why you're playing these shit little games.
Well, like pool? I love pool. That's a fun game. And not easy trophies. It came starting to piss me off.
Is it really?
Oh, it really gets pretty hard.
Oh, well. Anyway... What, like, because anyway. I guess the main reason I ask is because I've now given you a couple games that are, like, again, pretty heavy story driven that I feel like have plenty of talking points we can go over that I'm just hoping you'll play at some point in the near future.
Yeah, I will at some point in the near future, but you are impatient and sometimes annoying. I'm not going to have a game system until November. And actually, probably not even then. It's going to be sold out.
You didn't look into pre-orders?
No. I did, but nothing's been available.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, at this point, why the fuck not look for a pre-order? Like, you know you're going to get it.
I just don't have the cash currently.
Oh, okay. All right, everybody. We're putting up a GoFundMe.
Just, shoring up some other financial aspects of my life right now. There you go.
Dude, speaking of Michael Myers really quick, I actually do want to give a quick shout out.
Mike Myers.
No, the guy I want to shout out is Michael Myers. Or Michael the Meyer, murderer? I should say. Michael Meyer. He is the host of the On Call podcast. I've been talking with him quite a bit on Twitter. He's a video game guy and stuff, but I wanted to tell you really quick, he sent me a message so he listened to our last episode. And he sent me a message saying, oh, I really appreciated hearing Waukesha, cheers or something like that. Cause he was originally from Wisconsin. He actually, let's see, he said he grew up and lived in Hillsboro, which I want to say is more.
We were talking about Waukesha specifically?
Well, so no. So I brought it up. I said the city specifically. So when we brought up the whole talking point about southeastern Wisconsin, everything's like 15, 30 minutes away. I was like, oh, how far away is Waukesha? Yeah. Like, oh, 15 minutes.
Oh, okay.
So I said it, and then so he was listening to our episode and he heard that. So with him now living in Florida, he's kind of like me, where he like obviously used to be from Wisconsin, and like it was kind of weird too. Like I understood what he said. Like when you start hearing people talk, like when you send me stuff from TMJ4 or Fox 6 or whatever, and I start reading about like Waukesha or Delafield or Manaw or like whatever, it is kind of cool to have like that. Oh yeah, like these cities still are around, and I'm just not there anymore to be around them. Mm-hmm. So he just kind of sent me that message. It was kind of cool. I was just like, oh yeah, I kind of miss the old Wisconsin area. And I was like, oh hell yeah, dude. I've been trying to find a way. We got it, dude. Honestly, we have been talking, and we're gonna have guests on at some point, and I know he's gonna be one of them. I just got to get him on. He's more of an Xbox guy though, so not everybody's cool, I guess. But Mike, if you're listening,
yeah. But big news today: Xbox purchased Bethesda.
Did they really? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, so I saw it and I was like, okay, good to know. But then everybody's just like speculating about all this stuff. That means it's like,
Do you think that means we'll have five more editions of Skyrim?
Oh yes, people are making that joke.
Oh really?
Yeah. Everybody's like Skyrim for fucking ever.
Dude, honestly, I think at this point Bethesda should just keep running with it.
I'm sorry, let me clarify and shore up my statement. Okay. Microsoft purchased Bethesda, not Xbox.
Okay.
Regardless. Yeah, so wow. All the titles like, you know, Doom, Fallout, Elder Scrolls, Wolfenstein, all that jazz.
Holy cow.
I think Wolfenstein. But so hopefully it doesn't delay Elder Scrolls 6. I mean, yeah, I don't have any anticipation that they're going to make it a Xbox exclusive game, because that would be really stupid.
I would not be surprised.
That would be really disheartening for me.
Because now think about it, this is now Microsoft potentially thinking to themselves, could we now jump in? Could they make that leap that Sony has done so greatly with their exclusives and start making that their exclusives?
Oh, fuck, dude. So titles like Doom and Elder Scrolls and Fallout.
Just think about it.
Go to have, exclusive to Xbox.
Think about it. If they had those and claimed those as their exclusives, absolutely they'd be now up there with Sony and their exclusives. Are you kidding me?
They'd surpass Sony in my book.
Exactly.
Those are three of my favorite franchises ever.
Dude, they might. I could totally see it. I could totally see them doing that, no doubt. Wow. Holy shit. That would be nutty.
It's a risk versus benefit, though. I mean, because, yeah, obviously then you have those titles, but then there are people who aren't going to buy two systems. So you're going to lose people who bought games.
Oh, for sure. And again, that I guess that's the kind of thing they have to play out, is how much of them trying to keep up with Sony are they willing to sacrifice for people who won't get two systems?
When you don't make money off hardware, you make money off games.
Right.
So,
but I think that's
they
the
would
thing,
actually
like,
it would likely behoove them to still sell it to all consoles.
Sure. I just like to, because to me, like, I guess that's the thing they have to play out, is because you know that, and that's the thing, if they made it exclusive, you still know that Doom's gonna sell, Fallout's gonna sell, like Elder Scrolls, like all these games, all these exclusives, if they were to do it, would sell, no doubt. But I mean, like, would you get the cheaper Xbox or no?
Probably, but I feel like most people aren't in a position to be able to do that.
Oh, for sure.
So, you know what I mean? Like, that's
right. I mean, that's a lot. Yeah.
$1,000 for video games, more or less.
Man, that's crazy. I mean, think about it logically, probably not, but just to think,
well, that's
that
the thing,
there's
like,
the potential.
Well, it isn't a secret.
Right.
Like Sony has said this. I'm sure Microsoft says it. They sell their consoles at a loss. Like how we were talking about last week with the inflation or lack thereof of the consoles. Mm-hmm. but the clear technological advancements, like they're not making money on the consoles. So I don't think they would do it in order to try to sell more consoles when they could just sell more games. PlayStation 4.
What I did read is, like, obviously they make up for it though with now what they're doing, like the Xbox Game Pass and Sony's got their PlayStation Plus. So that's how they make up for their losses, is they charge people for those things.
Yeah.
So again though,
that's the thing though, is I wouldn't do that. I don't need anything online from Microsoft after the game. So
But like if those games are going exclusively to Xbox though?
No, I wouldn't need Game Pass.
That's the thing though, is from your cost and benefit of it, would you then go out and get the big Xbox for $499 that you can play the discs on, or do you get the cheaper one for $200 less and then just get Game Pass?
I don't know.
See, because now you have to start thinking to yourself, what?
It's only $100 less.
I thought it was $499 and $299.
I thought it was the same as PlayStation.
Isn't PlayStation $499 and $399?
Yeah, I thought they were the same.
The smaller Xbox was $299, I thought. Double check me, but I'm almost positive.
I'm looking right now.
I swear, I thought it was. I mean, again, maybe I very well could be wrong.
Peter Griffin. Peter Griffin in my soul. Okay, you're right.
I am right? Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, my God. All right, yeah. So that's $200 cheaper.
Yeah.
That's fairly significant.
Let's just hope it doesn't come to that, eh?
I mean, again, for me, I'll be okay with it. Like, the only other big purchase I'm looking to do in terms of the video game realm, other than a PS5 at some point, which, by the way, will not be happening until this PS4 does exactly what yours does. I'm running this thing into the...
What if it never does that?
Then you know what? I'll keep going until eventually I get to the point where I have to switch. Like, if it's to the point where we're at in this podcast where there's so many games out and it has to be on PS5, then fine. Whenever that time comes, I'll do it. Basically, like, literally every other system that's ever come out in the history of our friendship, that's what I'll do.
I mean, that's fine. That's what I would do too if I were you. So.
Just at this point, like I said, when we were talking about this, I'm so surprised that you've gone through two, and I had a used one that's still active. Again, I'm just going to run it till it dies, till it completely just breaks, and that's it. Because then, like I said, the only other big console purchase that I'm looking to do, though, is the Switch.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Teague and I have been talking about it because Teague's also had an interest in getting it, so we kind of want to get it for the two of us. Yeah, Nintendo Switch.
I keep bumping my microphone. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah, fucking
apologize. I wanted to get. What's that?
I said, yeah, you better fucking apologize.
I was going to plan to get the VR for the PlayStation 5. Oh. You know, if they come with like a VR type version 2 or whatever, you know.
Mm hmm. See, now that's the only
thing. Now I have to buy a fucking Xbox, too.
Here's the thing I've been concerned about, though, is will the current PlayStation VR transfer over to the 5?
That's the thing. I was just going to wait until they release a new one.
Right. Now, but thinking about it, I think it should if the ports are there.
Have they ever said anything?
No, that's the thing. I haven't heard anything about that.
Yeah, that's weird.
Which makes me like 50-50, concerned, not concerned. Because part of me thinks, oh, they're not saying anything because there's going to be no Switch.
Just a given.
Yeah. Or they're not saying anything because they don't know yet. So I'm a little on edge because that would really suck.
We're living on the edge.
Seriously. But no, the other thing too is Teague and I this weekend went to the mall. And do you know what Think Geek is? Have you ever heard of that store?
I've purchased an item or two off of Think Geek.
Okay, so you know that it's basically a branch of GameStop.
It is now. It didn't used to be, but yeah.
It didn't used to be, but it is now. Correct. So we were going in there because I was looking to get some more Funko Pops for my collection. And they had like this big buy two, get one free deal. So Teague actually has started to collect some too. And I kind of got her hooked on it. But I did actually a pre-order for a Funko Pop, believe it or not.
Interesting.
For Joel from The Last of Us.
We're all shocked.
Ha ha! They think it's funny. No, yeah. Everybody's pretty surprised. Yeah. No, it's it was kind of funny because so like the Funko Pop itself, I think, was for the pre-order for like a brand new one was like $12, I think. But the funny part though is the girl at the counter said, for the pre-order, you can put down either the full price or $5 was the minimum you could put down. And I thought to myself, what? Like, who?
I mean, that's how it was for games at GameStop back in the day.
Sure. But now, how much is a typical game, though? Like, $60, right?
$60, yeah.
Correct. So, that's a pretty decent amount of money. Now, for instance, if you're, like, a younger kid, for example, like, I'm thinking about this from the point of, like, a 14, 15-year-old. Like, $60, like, damn, that's a lot of lawns to mow. But, like, $13 or $12, like, I'm pretty sure that's, like, half of a lawn, depending on who you're probably working for. So, I'm thinking to myself, why would you just put down, like, why not just pay for the whole fucking thing? What
GameStop to get in your fucking product? I don't know.
What financial hole are you in that you're like 13? Whoa, timeout. Let's just do 5 for right now. That's all I can afford until this product comes out.
I don't know.
I just say like it was just really funny to me that they were like on a $13, $12 purchase, you could only put down 5 if you so choose, based on your financial situation.
Hey, but at the same time, though, I understand not wanting to pay any more than you have to before you get the actual product.
Oh, sure. I understand that, but like I said, to me, it was just funny that like somebody would look at $12 and go, holy shit.
And especially nowadays, I'd be like, yeah, fuck you. Like, I am waiting until I get that thing, until I give you any more money.
No, that's fair. They said that they told me that once it got in, they would like call me or whatever, send me an email, and then I could just go pick it up.
Yeah.
That's actually where I got Chance, believe it or not.
Chance the Rapper.
No. You're going to confuse people.
Ah.
That's a... No. Tell them who we're talking about, and don't you dare ever disrespect Chance like that again. Hand a Chance.
Chance the Gila Monster?
Yes. For all you that do not know, he is the Golden Knights mascot. Vegas Golden Knights, our favorite team. Nate Schmidt, what's up, man? Thanks for listening again.
Yeah, we forgot to talk about hockey.
Oh yeah, let's do our quick little segment. Golden Knights are out. Darn.
I'm not watching the finals.
I haven't watched a second of it. All I saw, I was like, I went to bed the other night and I told Teague, I'm like, all right, I want to turn on the Stanley Cup playoff. Because it was like the end of the game. So I knew it was like getting towards the end. So I'm like, I just want to see what the score was. Turned it on. Sure enough, fucking Jamie Benn's getting an interview from Pierre. And I'm like, they fucking won? Stars won, dude. Game one.
Khudobin is going to win that fucking series for them.
No.
Yeah, he's playing out of his gourd.
I know. He's playing JSG material.
Yeah.
And I don't like that, though, because nobody should be compared to him. Nobody.
Interesting, though, that JSG played that way against Dallas, and now we're talking about Khudobin, who's on Dallas.
Oh, my God.
Illuminati.
That, you know what? That's what's being hidden from us. That's it.
It all makes sense, doesn't it?
All of a sudden, our feed, our power just gets cut at our houses.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. For those of you who do not know, JSG is John Sebastian Giguere. He was the goalie for the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. Mighty Ducks, I want to make sure to emphasize that, because that was when their name was fucking cool for their current fucking chain, where they wanted to be a little more mature. That's
less mature, in my opinion.
Exactly. That's like, come on. Don't Don't be the don't be the guy who like does like the trendy thing, like always want to be a little different, a little more mature. No, just fucking be cool. Nothing wrong with being
cool.
That's
what made you cool.
Exactly. Paul Kariya, Timo Solani, JSG. Like, fuck out of here.
Scott Niedermeyer.
Oh my god, Scott Niedermeyer, Jesus. Anyway, so Josh Vashinger was the goalie for the Ducks, and he was one of the only players in NHL history to win the playoff MVP and not be on the Stanley Cup winning team.
Because the second ever. Was a boss.
Dude, he seriously, that entire postseason was the JSG show. And he was in the cup final against Martin Brodeur.
Oh, you don't have to tell me twice.
Like, he was going up against Hall of Fame-esque competition. But
best goaltender of all time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. No arguments from Josh. You'll never hear it again.
See, and that's the thing. Like, it's he is the best. Right? Oh. Just like I say, Tom Brady is the best. Mm-hmm. But if you want the most skilled for one game, take the player at their peak. Yes, I would take Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers. But
can we wait, what?
I've always
I'm just
for like
just,
a whole game based on skill.
I just wanted you to say it again.
Oh, just based on skill, by the way. Because if we're talking about leadership and mounting a comeback and everything, there's a lot of other variables that come in.
Right.
And Brady's your fucking guy.
Purely skill based, though.
Yeah. You take Rodgers. If you're just like, who has the best arm, best accuracy, best movement in the pocket, stuff like that, you take Rodgers. And if you're like, I need some motherfucker who's going to play top of his game for one game, game seven, you're taking Patrick Waugh. Brodeur is the greatest because like he did it at a consistent level for like 85 years.
Seriously, 90, actually.
Waugh didn't play as long. He doesn't have those records, but I still think he was a better goaltender. Just like, here, just like this. Just like Jerry Rice. You can call him the greatest wide receiver of all time. Mm-hmm. Randy Moss is still better than Jerry Rice.
Oh, for sure.
He had a shit attitude. He was on crap teams. Well, like Jerry.
One,
like,
that's one way to
be
put
fair.
It.
Jerry Rice.
To be fair.
Jerry Rice had fucking Joe Montana and Steve Young thrown to him most of his career.
Yeah.
I mean, and again, Jerry Rice did it consistently.
Basically, you just have to be like halfway decent and you'll be a good receiver.
Even when Jerry Rice got shipped off to the Raiders, he had Rich Gannon, who was also very good at the time.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's very true. Yeah,
I just say it's a distinction. You know?
I know. I can't diss on Waugh, but yeah, I know what you mean though. And honestly, I think if it came to Game 7 for me personally, if I had to choose between the two of them, it'd be a coin flip. Because again, to me, I just feel like Brodeur can also show up, like at both at their peaks. But I don't know. It's honestly, I'm not doing it just because I favor one over the other. I'm just, like truly down the middle with these two.
Yeah, I think you get more intangible.
Yeah,
out of Waugh.
Mm-hmm. See, and here's the thing:
he'll wink at you after he stones you,
dude. Oh my god, best Sports Illustrated cover ever.
That made the cover of Sports Illustrated?
I actually, don't quote me on that. I think it did. Part of me like thinks it did, but part of me thinks it may have just been on another magazine or something. Like I said, don't quote me. I might be horrifically wrong, but for some reason I thought that that had made it or something.
Well, let me check.
And while you check, well, I was just going to say that with our partners that you mentioned in the very beginning, Podgo, they actually had messaged me, I think I told you this, where they want us to do Melting the Ice, like to make a separate segment for everybody.
Like 15 minutes, like that's, we could do that.
I'm about to say, dude, like what we just busted out with like another, I don't know, 10 minutes of just recapping. And then the other thing too is I'm thinking if we started this within the NHL season, we'll have way more to talk about, like recapping games, looking good, who's looking bad, and just
now we're just doing it to justify tagging Nate Schmidt every week.
Seriously, that's just it. Now if we do like a full separate segment, we'll be like, dude, check out our hockey podcast after you listen to our video game podcast.
The only Sports Illustrated cover that I'm seeing is after the Avalanche won the cup, and it's Waugh grabbing a glove save.
Oh, okay.
Obviously in the Avalanche
Right. Okay. Then maybe I saw it. Maybe it was like a frozen picture or something that someone had put up on a screen or something. Just threw passing. But either way, if anybody doesn't know, there was a game that was when he was on the Canadiens, right? Yeah, where he was so in the zone and so stoning everybody that he actually winked at a guy after making a save.
I forgot who it was too. It was like the third or fourth time he stoned him too.
It was like a stone cold robbery of a save, and he just looked up at him and winked through his mask, and whoever was filming should probably also get an award of some kind.
It's like the clearest picture I've ever seen.
Yeah. The guy just so happened to be like, all right, let's just like zoom in on Wah here and stay there. Oh my God. And then probably as soon as he did that, everyone in the fucking video room just freaked out. We did it. We got the coolest clip ever.
Hot 1993, damn. It looks like.
Was that when that was?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
At Tomas Sandstrom.
That's so long ago. The Kings.
Close up in the 1993 Stanley Cup Final.
Wow.
The year I was born.
I was probably in my mom's belly still. I most certainly was.
Okay. It's cool, man.
Because 9 months. Yeah. Yeah, I was. All right, just enough. Leave it. That's it. Go to your room.
I didn't do anything.
See, that's what they all say. I didn't do anything. Go to your room. Think about it. Sick of your attitude. Dude, okay, really quick. Actually, now that I thought about this, I have been meaning to talk about this game for a while now. Like, a while. And I always keep forgetting.
We're going to be here for a while.
A what? Why did you say it like that?
Anyway.
It's a game called Erica. Have you heard of this?
No.
It was a free PS Plus game, I want to say, 2 months ago? 2-3 months ago? Something like that. It's basically a Telltale game in terms of decision making, but it's full live action. So it's like a full movie filmed with real humans and real actors, and you make decisions on the screen only with your DualSense touchpad. And that's like the game. Then you make like decisions based on that. But like I said, the game is full, like people, like there's no computer whatsoever.
I just don't know how I haven't heard about this.
That's the thing. I keep forgetting to talk about it. I'm so pissed.
Well, that's interesting.
It's a Sony exclusive. I mean, again, I'm glad I was for PS Plus. I mean, I would never. It's not very, like, the story itself is kind of confusing and weird, but I think they're more just going for the experimental use of it. Like, hey, let's try this new game out. But yeah, it was just so bizarre because I looked up, like, I was like, oh, what's this Erica game? And I played a trailer for it and I'm like, what? And it was like, yeah, live people. I was like, this is just really weird.
Well, it sounds like Command & Conquer, which had like live videos. Or not live videos, but videos of real people talking, you know?
But yeah, but then didn't it like cut to an actual video game though?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But no, yeah, like this is, yeah, like I said, this is full, like you're walking around and she walks up to something and you can just go like pick this or this. And then like she's talking and I'm like, what do you want to answer with? This or this?
Huh.
It's really, really, really bizarre.
That is bizarre.
Like I said, the story was kind of confusing, but I don't know if people... Like I said, it's called Erica. It's just got like her on the cover. If you're
so what are you going to do? Are you going to play it?
I played through it. I played through the whole thing. Like I said, the story... I don't know. It was kind of hard to follow at first because like I understand what they were going for, like the shock value of like some twists and turns in the story, but it was just like... It was kind of hard. It was kind of confusing. You're kind of like, where did this come from? And like, why are they doing this or something? Like, there's the trophy lineup is basically like, in order to get a full platinum on the game, you have to play through like at least 3 or 4 times because the trophies are based on decision making. So you have to go back and like pick this. Yeah. But still, like I kind of got what was going on. It was kind of like a weird cult like. control thing or whatever, and you have to uncover who killed your father and blah blah blah. But yeah, I don't know. It was just, I think it was just more of Sony being like, all right, let's just try this. It was something. I'll tell you that. It wasn't bad, but it was just just an experience.
So interesting.
It was, yeah. It really was. I'd love to
play that. Let me just fire up my, oh, fuck you.
It's so funny how you insult yourself more than I don't bring it up because I'm like, I don't want to piss him off.
I appreciate that.
And I'm like, I genuinely know you're hurting inside, so I'm like, I won't say it. And you're just like, haha, fuck me. I'm like, I didn't even say anything.
God.
God! Constantly ripping on yourself. Well, here, I will talk about something then that you probably don't mind. We talked about this a little bit briefly. On Steam, I finally got my Civ 6 to work. Sid Meier's Civilization 6, for all you who don't know. For the longest time, it was the weirdest thing. I downloaded it onto my current laptop, and it's graphically something was amiss. I don't know what it was, but I'd start playing for a few minutes, and the whole screen would just burr. So I was like, what? What is going on? So I think something, I don't know what, but there was some update that either Microsoft did or my computer did or something where now I'm able to run it no problem. But like I told you, Josh, I think 5 way better than 6.
Wait, I thought you said 6 is better than 5.
No, reverse it. If I did say that, I apologize, but I'm pretty sure I said 5 is better than 6.
Oh, I guess, maybe, I don't know. I read it as 6 is better than 5. That's why I said, really? Oh. And then you gave, a big explanation. And you're like, yeah, the culture thing is different. And I was like, oh, okay, it sounds like it's better.
Well, in my example, though, I gave 2 reasons as to why 5 was better. And then they said, however, 6 has blah, blah, blah. I can understand where the confusion was, though.
I was doing some chores too while I was reading that.
And plus, if you're reading it, you'll see a V and a VI that can blend together. That can mesh very, very easily.
Honestly, so now that 2 games that Civilization that came out after 5 that have not been as good as 5.
Seriously, yeah. The one you got, the alien
Beyond
one?
Earth.
Beyond Earth, yeah. The thing I really like about 5, actually, that I actually found out, I was kind of playing again and I really enjoyed this, and I don't know why, but in the early Civilization games and then in 6, they make the leaders all kind of seem a little cartoony. Like, they kind of give them, not like unrealistic.
Wait, you said they do that in 5?
In 6, they do.
Oh, they're kind of cartoony in 5, don't you think?
Yes, but not as drastically. If you look at the earlier games and you look at how they did it in 6, you can kind of tell there's some clear cartoony type animation they put into it. But I feel like in 5, they really keep it rather tame in terms of trying to keep them what they were actually humane wise. You have to go back and look at the 2. If you actually looked at gameplay from 6 and looked at 5, you would know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But no, like I said, the thing that I liked about 5 is just how they kept it rather simple. I think the mods were better. In 6, the only thing I liked them that they did well is when you look at the tiles you have around a city, they actually make you do you want to build X big monument where you're going to take up this whole tile to do it? You don't get to just shove everything into that little tile that is your city, so to speak.
Okay, I think I follow that.
Which I like, though, because it makes you actually think, I have to have resources. Exactly.
Yeah.
You can go look out in a farm field and be like, well, do I need the resources or can I put a monument here? So,
makes sense.
I do like that. It gives you a little more thought, a little more insight on, what you should do strategically and all that stuff.
Strategery.
But... yeah, you get it.
I get it.
In my opinion, if I were you, if you see 6 on some crazy deal on Steam,
got it on PlayStation 4.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's been in my cart a couple times.
Do you think
I just pulled the trigger?
I wonder if they have crossover action.
I don't remember if I read anything about that or not.
Probably not.
It has to run a lot differently, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree.
But I don't know. That's just me.
I would say this, though. If you see it either in the PlayStation Store or on Steam, in my opinion, 20 or less. Go for it. Anything above that, in my opinion, I don't think it's worth it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Just to me. I mean, again, if you want to get it for 30 and you think it's worth it, by all means.
Probably not. I mean, I probably won't.
How about you just play some of the free games that your boy Zach's gotten you?
On what?
Oh, see what I did there?
You're such a cock. Like, you did that for everyone to hear.
Hey, you kept throwing jabs at yourself, so finally I had to throw one. I wanted to get it in the party. No, wait for me.
Oh, God.
For real, though, I think, in my opinion, I've been waiting for you for the longest time to play Days Gone, so I think you should do that once you get your 5.
Yeah, I mean, that's on there. Okay, so here are the physical titles I have that justify financially getting the full PlayStation 5 with optical drive that I haven't played. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man. Finishing Borderlands the Handsome Collection.
Mm-hmm.
Days Gone. Spyro Reignited Trilogy.
Nice.
Titanfall 2. Red Dead Redemption 2.
Nice.
And We Happy Few.
Oh, and you're really forgetting weird, one.
Really weird how those all rhymed. Oh, and Jedi Fallen Order.
You're welcome.
So that's like probably like $300-$400 worth of games there.
Easy. Easy.
And this was just physical unplayed games. So yeah, I gotta get the fucking...
Jesus. Between freaking Red Dead, Jedi, and Days Gone, and what was the other? There was another one in there.
Well, there were many.
Well, just between those three, you're looking at close to like over $100.
Well, for those three, you're looking at $180.
Really?
Well, 60 times three.
Oh, well, I'm banking that if you could probably find them for under 60 by now.
Well, I could, but.
If you're looking at, like, I mean, sure, like, Red Dead, I'm sure you could, like, my thought was Red Dead, I'm sure you could still find for, like, $39.99. I still think they're selling Jedi for about 40, even maybe 50.
Yeah.
And then Days Gone, I've seen at a pretty decent discount, but again, still, like, I'm still so fucking surprised that fell so far under the radar. Like, that game got announced and everyone was still hyped for it. I think
they hyped it too early.
Yeah, maybe. Because I remember when it did come out, everyone was like, oh my god, like, a zombie game that could... Because I remember they promoted it, zombie, and then they talked about it in detail, saying open world. And they were like, everyone was like, oh my god, like, this could compete with The Last of Us being open world, blah, blah, blah. And then it came out, and everyone was just like, what? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Days Gone? Yeah. And I was like, what? Like, how the fuck did people just forget about this?
Honestly, though, it's like they did. I think it's just too early. You know?
I'm still banking you're going to love that game.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Because you're an open world guy. I think between the two of us, you're much more of an open world guy. More open world guy than I am.
Oh, for sure.
Because you love exploring.
I like to explore.
That's what you do. You yelled at me so many times for not doing it.
That's true.
I saw it, dude. What do you want? I for me, I love like a book. I love going from... And I know there's a beginning, middle, and end. It makes me feel good. It makes me know that I can get through it. Done. Open world, like, sometimes it's overwhelming.
That is understandable.
Like, I just, you know, I'm like, I do want to get to the story, but I'm like, oh, but then there's this storyline, and that's fun, that's cool, and it's like, well, then there's this one, and I'm like, ah!
Fuck!
All right, really quick, though, really quick. I know we're getting low on time here, but before we go... We do need to talk about our next and final four matchup. As I'm looking at the standings right now, I gotta tell you, dude, Mario Kart 64, they're punching their ticket.
Uh-oh.
Punching their ticket to the championship match. Unless in probably the next, let's see here, in the next next 25 minutes, which everyone's going to, it's already going to be gone by the time people listen to this. In the next 25 minutes, if Super Smash Bros. Can pull out like 30 votes out of nowhere, Mario Kart's taking it.
Maybe, though.
It's a blowout, dude. It's honestly a pretty big blowout. The percentages, it's right now 28 votes, I think. 25 votes currently on Twitter. Let's see here. 75% of the vote has gone to Mario Kart. 76.
Yeah, I'm not terribly surprised, if I'm being honest.
People love them. People love Mario Kart, man.
Yeah.
But now, the true matchup, I think this is the one everyone's been waiting for. I think the first one was kind of just like, all right. Like, the first one was that 3 o'clock game that everyone was like, oh, yeah, we'll watch because, you know, it's Final Four. But now we're getting to the prime time 8 o'clock tip-off.
Oh, yeah.
Super Mario 64 taking on, in my opinion, still the utmost complete underdog in 007, GoldenEye.
Yeah, I don't know how you haven't come to terms with that yet.
I don't think I ever will. And again, I'm not, again, I want to make this very clear. I'm not saying it's an underdog because of the game not being like popular or anything. I'm strictly saying because of the road the game had to take to get to the Final Four.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
I truly
so did it's not that they're an underdog, because an underdog implies they were a bad team.
Sorry. Not that they themselves are an underdog. The fact that the teams that they have beaten, basically, in my opinion, the games they've gone up against have made them underdogs, if that makes sense. Like, in my head, I thought, wow, Red Dead, GoldenEye? Dude, I'm pretty sure Red Dead probably has this one locked up. Or, like, Elder Scrolls Oblivion, The Last of Us. Then once it got to place up against Mortal Kombat, I was like, yeah, no chance for Mortal Kombat on this one.
Right.
Okay. But now before we go, Josh, who do you got? Do you have a Mario 64 final? Or will GoldenEye keep riding this ridiculous train of beating teams that are games that probably shouldn't?
It's going to be GoldenEye. I think so.
My mind's telling me, like, my heart's telling
me. My mind's telling me no.
Yes.
I could not pass that up. Sorry.
I know. No, that's fair. I honestly was about to do it as well, but I was like, I don't want to. I didn't know if we'd pay royalties or not. I don't think we do.
We'll find out.
That's when we know we've made it. Okay. Truthfully, my mind's telling me, like, hey, dude, be smart. Go with the obvious choice here in GoldenEye. But my heart's like, come on, man. Super Mario 64. First, like, big open world-esque game. I mean, it's Mario. Like, people love, truly, as you can tell.
Mario.
Mario. People, like, sex sells. Mario sells.
What?
I don't even know, dude.
The fuck?
Okay, what the fuck? I don't even know, dude. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. I just don't know, dude.
We'll decide.
I think I'm just going to oppose you. I want to go Super Mario 64 just to keep it interesting.
Such a contrarian.
Dude, wouldn't that... that's going to be such a crazy matchup.
Crazy.
So why do you think GoldenEye is going to win really quick? Just give me a brief...
Momentum.
That's what you think? Just keep carrying it?
Yeah. I have no other justification other than that, because I think Mario is better, but...
No doubt.
Sometimes you just got to smell the roses. GoldenEye is a powerhouse.
GoldenEye is in the locker room right now, and their coach is like, guys, we're playing with house money here. Let's just go out and do what we do.
Let's give her all she's got.
Let's just take that golden gun, put it right to that little Italian motherfucker's head, blow him back down that pipe.
What? He was Italian?
I don't know. Mario, isn't he?
Oh, I thought you were talking about in GoldenEye.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I don't remember any Italian bad guys.
Well, I'm sure there probably was one at some
point. Oh, yeah, no, Mario's Italian.
Yeah.
He's from Sicily.
They're going to take the golden gun and one-shot him.
Yeah.
Pew.
Unless Mario hits him with that fireball.
Gotta get the marshmallow first, though. He's gotta get, or not marshmallow. He's gotta get two mushrooms first, though.
Marshmallow.
Or no, he needs a mushroom, but a flower. Sorry, go ahead.
You know what's funny, though, is so a GoldenEye is one shot, one kill. A kill would imply that you are removing one life. So if Mario is in big form, shoot him once when he's at normal size, shrinks down to small size, gut punch. James Bond's down. Because we all know it's fucking possible to aim in GoldenEye, so go ahead and tell me you're going to try to aim down at little Mario when he's blooping around down there. I don't fucking think so. Yeah, all of a sudden, bing, 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 you're dead.
He just jumps on your head once. Then he puts you on your back and he shoots you all the way down to the wherever.
Could you imagine, like, little Mario just, like, between your legs doing a little coin punch to your fucking coin purse? Bing, 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 bing. That would fucking hurt, eh?
Oh, fuck, nickels!
All right, it's time to say goodbye. We're past time now.
We're past time. All right, everybody. Yeah, we're getting the signal from the booth that we got to wrap it up here. Sorry about that. This week, we're doing a little promo shout out. We're actually back to the top of the rotation for our promo drop. So we're going to shout out to Fat, Drunk, and Stupid this week. Check them out. We've promoted them before. I mean, I think the title speaks for itself for what you're getting. You know what I mean?
Not hiding anything.
All right. Josh, anything else?
Got nothing.
All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
Say goodbye.
And we'll talk to you next time.
Sláinte.
Hey, folks. Rob here from Fat, Drunk, and Stupid. And what is that, you ask? Well, aside from three words that describe my life, it's a podcast. We talk about food, fun, fellowship, movies, books, video games, pop culture, and much more. Also, some very interesting guests and some awesome stories. And, of course, some cold beers along the way, too. So look us up on Twitter at FDSPodcast7 and look for Fat, Drunk, and Stupid wherever you find your favorite podcast. Thanks for listening.